Author of the Week, featuring another great creator of narratives for the human race on Southside Broadcasting and Siren Radio.
Well, that was pretty awesome, has to be said. It was pretty awesome indeed. When last we actually spoke to Nzondi, of course, it was June 2022. We knew he was a musician there as well. We didn't realize he was such a fantastic musician. That's one of the reasons why the track we've just heard has been so awesome. Whilst we build up the tension even more, even further, I'll say, Kathy Manso, what did you make of Nzondi's latest wonderful piece of irate music and kill everybody?
Too kind.
Well, I'm always a fan, especially since this is exactly the song I need when I'm, because I lift weights Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and this is something I would hear. I was like, yes, let's deadlift today. So already a fan of it. It's going to be part of my playlist.
There you are. Teenage rock star is there. Yes, clearly on that basis. Yes. Brilliant stuff.
Thank you.
So, I mean, as we said, ace author, influenced heavily in terms of creating your own form of genre fiction by the likes of Richard Matheson, Stan Lee, and Octavia Butler. These are all things we know about. Award-winning author, writer, etc. Rock star as well. Is there no end to your talent, sir?
I don't know if I would call it. I don't know if I would say there's no end to the talent. You know, pretty much all creatives love to dabble in the arts, whether it be painting, singing, dancing. I'm no different. You know, I love that creative process. And I've been lucky enough to just take my time and groom some of the different aspects of the, you know, entertainment industry. And so here I am now. And when you say kill them all, just the song is about vampires. So yeah, the song is about vampires. And it's based on actually my upcoming writing, my upcoming novel that I'm working on. I'm almost done with it now, that deals with a teenage rock star vampire. So, and the pressures that she has from being a rock star, a teenager, and a vampire. And we don't use the term vampire in the book. It's a different term, but just for our sake, so everyone understands.
This is good. So, yeah. This is clear. Now, as I say, Jessica Burtis, who was on the call back in June, sends her very best. So she's obviously become a big fan from that point of view. But in keeping with, obviously, our Author of the Week feature, we always like to have American Julie represented from that point of view. And I do believe, Kathy Manso, you were very excited to see the possible connection between our guest today and, indeed, the notion of Puddle of Mud. Would you like to take it further?
Ooh.
Man, I didn't know you were going to throw me like that into this. it's embarrassing, but in the right kind of way, because this brought me back to when I was 15. So this is when I was like over 15 years ago, feeling emotions I haven't felt. And
you look no older than 17.
Oh, thank you. It's very kind. Great for radio. But I really wanted to ask you, how did you get into such a creative collaboration? It looks like you're doing 110 things, which, I understand. I keep myself busy. But yeah, how did you find yourself in this collaboration?
I love that question. It does seem like I'm doing like a lot at once, but I took my time and I spent about 30 years trying to do music. And that didn't work out. But in the process of doing that, I made a lot of friends in the industry. And in 2008, when I was also director of education at the Civil Learning Center, I quit education and I said, I want to learn how to really, really write novels. So I stopped in 2008. It took me about 6 years to write 1 million words. And that's when I sold my first novel. So after I won the Bram Stoker in 2019, I published another book called Lipstick Asylum in 2021. And at that point, I said, maybe now, using the platform that I have now, it might be a good time to kind of go back to the music and see if I can, get in there. And really, all I wanted to do, I just had that inspiration for that song, Teenage Rockstar. And I called up Dave Moreno, who plays the drums for Puddle of Mud. And I called up Fredjo Starr, who we used to watch the, True Blood together. So he knows that I love the vampire genre. And that's why he wrote the perfect song for it. And, they were on board with it. We put the song out. I went with a record company, a guy that I've known for 20, 30 years. Everyone I've known for a long time. And he loved the song. They put it out, got it distributed. And it's now on 67 radio stations globally. So I'm amazed. I just thought it was a cute idea that I had. I wanted to kind of put it out. And now, I've had several people sending me songs to record, and I almost have an album worth of songs now that should be ready in April.
It's kind of funny how passion works like that. Like, you kind of came full circle with everything that you've done, and I'm so happy for you. That's amazing.
Thank you.
Also, all the words you're saying is like something out of my journals and diaries from I was like, True Blood. I love True Blood. Wow, it's so nice that we connect in such a way. Well, my next question for you is, so how you worked in education, I have a similar background in that. So I guess, have you taken any of your inspiration from the students you've taught in the past for your writing today?
Brilliant question. Absolutely. The reason why I write young adult is because I work so much with eighth graders, mostly eighth graders, 13-year-olds.
That's a scary group.
Yeah, it is. It really is. But it's also a group where they're right at the very impressionistic stage where they're kind of independent, but you still can kind of, mold their ideas a little bit. I love that age. And so now that with being that I was brought up by all women, my sisters brought me up. My grandmother took me in when she was 70, basically all women. I can't help but write about self-empowerment of women. So the combination of self-empowerment of women and the teenage thing just equals young adult, young adult fiction. So that's where I'm at. And so a lot of my works is heavily influenced by the years of teaching.
It's also got to be noted, Nzondi, that actually it's now 68 radio stations because Siren Radio has been added to the list.
Woo!
In fact, we can even double up six, you know, go to 69 as well. So it's mounting up there. So, you know,
yes!
The track is being featured globally.
Wow. Thank you very much. And I want to give a shout out to University of Lincoln. Hello, Lincoln. Hello, everyone out there. You know, I don't know if it's raining or shining out there. It's raining out here in L.A. Yesterday, going towards the mountains, I was in snow, believe it or not. Can't believe it. But I just want to give a shout out to all the students at university, you know, clearing the path for their futures. So rock on.
Absolutely. And we just clarify, this is University of Lincoln, England, not Lincoln, Nebraska.
Yes.
It's important.
Yes.
Some confusions can occur. People end up going to the wrong place, the wrong continent. You know, it just happens, you know. Never mind, the wrong planet. We spoke, Nzondi, obviously, last time about your fondness for Jimi Hendrix. I think actually the last track is probably even a teenage rock star. Even it's Hendrix-esque in some places. That still something that you kind of still like in your own personal playlist to actually have to your to one side? A little bit of All Along the Watchtower or whatever.
Yeah, there's not a day, I don't think there's a day that I don't hear a Jimi Hendrix song. And the guitarist that I'm working with, it's kind of funny how I'm working with a lot of entertainers that use fire somehow as a allegory or a metaphor for their character. You know, Fredro Starr calls himself Fire Starr. And now I'm working with a brilliant guitarist named Johnny Human Torch, Flame On. And the songs that we got coming out, actually, one of them has to do with tequila. Tequila and rock and roll. And Johnny plays this really Jimi Hendrix-esque solo in it. And I didn't tell him to do that. It's just kind of like the universe is just kind of guiding me that way. So, yeah, you know, Jimmy's all inside of me. You know, his influence, his music, his words, and the color, that rainbow flamboyant coloration is all inside of me.
Kathy.
Well, I mean, one, so glad you mentioned tequila. I feel like we're going to be great friends. This just seems right. are you currently in LA right now, if I understood correctly?
Yeah, the last 3 years, I've been 6 months in LA and 6 months in New York. From April to about September, I'm usually in LA.
Oh, wow. Nice. Solid month to be in LA. And the one day of year that it rains, I think it rains like 5 times a year, and that's it. But what I wanted to ask you is, because you mentioned earlier how you have almost about an album worth of music.
Yeah.
Is there potentially an album coming out in the future?
Yeah, we're getting there.
Say yes. So, say yes. Say yes.
Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. Yes. I never, you know, this is, you know, I just never pictured myself being in this boat, you know, not at this, you know, time in my life, you know, 56 years old, you know, and finally coming out with some music that people can really relate to. So I, you know, it's a strange place to be in as far as that, and exciting at the same time. It's spectacular. But just to give you a little idea. So we came up with this really wild idea to do a tequila project. And so we have a lot of different songs that almost are the same. They came from the same source of music, but they kind of hit different genres. So they're not remixes, but they're different songs that deal with tequila. You know, we have, like I said, the Jimi Hendrix X type of song and then we have a variation of that, which is a total solo guitar solo through the whole song, instrumental, basically. We have a boy band-ish pop version of it that's called Tequila Sunrise, that the record company says it sounds like you're selling tequila right out the box. And and then we have a dance, Sam Smith dances type of song. And then besides that, then we have some really hard rock, almost a Led Zeppelin-esque type of song that I'm working on now. So we have the Tequila Project, which can't really be an album. I guess it could because the songs are kind of different. The majority of them are rock. And then we also have, you know, of course, a very Latin-based song that we're going to be dropping on Cinco de Mayo. And that's the one that's the tequila, you know, that's called tequila. So we have tequila, tequila rock and roll, tequila samurai. They all have to do with tequila, but they're all a little different. And then after that, we'll probably work, work on finishing the album and getting the album out.
It sounds like you're selling an experience. Like for every song, you can do a tequila tasting with it. And yeah. Just, it sounds amazing. And thanks, I'm sure plenty of people will pay a lot of money for it.
We shall see. I think we all put together a really, you know, good product. So just gotta, you know, let you guys listen to it. Let the ears have it, and see what they say.
I get a sense in Dundee that in many ways, so much of your material is digging deep into Kathy's youth as a girl in Miami in the latter years of the 20th century. So, you know, this is all good.
I love it.
Nail on the head.
Miami. So moving on. I love Miami.
I love New York and LA, really. Three cities of the country.
Yeah. Well, no. Well, in the country, because the top three cities in the world, London, Paris, New York. There you go. There you have it.
Yeah, I agree. I can definitely agree with that.
And there was I thinking Lincoln might be in there, but never mind. Okay, that's all right. I'll just have you know that Lincoln, England, for 150 years, had the world's tallest building with Lincoln Cathedral until the spire fell down. So there we are. That was in the 12th century. Anyway,
It's a big deal.
And it was the very same cathedral that Kathy Mansour was actually delivering her graduation speech in a few months ago. So there we are.
Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you.
Anyway, moving on in Zondi to the next stage. How is 2023 shaping up for yourself in terms of creativity, in terms of magic? I mean, obviously, we've already talked about the music side of things, etc. Will the writing still be running alongside it, or are you going to take a slight backseat and go on the world tour?
No, no world tour. I'm finishing up this book that I've been working on for quite a bit of time, and it's almost there. I think you guys are gonna it's gonna be a really fun ride, and I'm working fingers crossed, I'm reaching out to some literary agents, and I think I found the perfect person to live with and grow with, and I just had a meeting on Wednesday with a executive director and producer who wants to turn Feeney Zoe, which is the Bram Stoker award-winning, based on the Bram Stoker award-winning novel, Award and Mosaic, into a TV series. So that's looking pretty good. We have three directors attached. We have a couple of actors already attached. We have a cinematographer. You know, we have a production team pretty much attached. And we're getting there. Working on the proof of concept. And man, if that happens, 2023 is going to be an explosive year.
Positive thinking, it'll happen. We know that, or it'll happen in a different dimension, or it might go into a quantum verse if we're actually looking at Marvel Universe.
Did you see Quantumania?
Well, I mean, would you like to share your own views on it? Because it hasn't gone down very well with most critics, it has to be said.
Yeah, I 100%. Okay, so I'm a big Marvel collector. I've collected Marvel comics. Mostly Spider-Man, and then a lot of Incredible Hulk, mostly, and then a lot of different other comics as well. And never really Ant-Man. I think maybe I have maybe one comic with him in him. So I wasn't a big Ant-Man fan. So the first movie, yeah, my significant other, she loved it. I was like, yeah, it's okay. It's entertaining. Second movie, I'm like, hey, it's better than the first movie. To me, it was like I've never really seen a franchise. I can't think of one offhand. Where it gets better like wine with time, it gets better. So this one to me was really good. I saw some of the mixed reviews. I don't know why they're mixed, because I thought it, you know, was a fantastic story. It was funny. It was of interest. It had that Marvel formula, and I thought it was a really, really, really good take on Ant-Man. and they did a great job. So I loved it. You know,
well,
I thought it was great.
I'm pleased that we're addressing that because one of our regular film critics, Robin Pierce, gave it a 3 out of 10. So he was not happy at all, really, with the whole system. And you know, maybe it was because they kind of thought that they were doing Star Wars for Micronauts, basically, with respect to the Rebel achievement and the battles of the Rebels that were actually there, or indeed, maybe there were too many Pims that were actually there. You know, too many Pim particles. You know, you got your Hank and you got your Janet, and then you've got your Scott and you've got your, you know, it's a bit too complex. But and of
I'm
course
not,
you've got Kang, and then there's MODOK, of course. MODOK.
I'm not buying all of that, because the Marvel Universe has gotten us used to seeing this huge collective of heroes together. We're used to seeing that, and they do it very well, unlike some of the other different other different forms of or other different sources that put out superhero movies. They've actually, I think, have done very well with having all these heroes, and each one still gets their little bit of shine, and it doesn't seem too convoluted and confusing. So, yeah, it was a lot in Quantumania, but I think they did a great job. So, you know, some things, you know, I'm sure the first person who saw Rocky Horror Picture Show thought it was not a, you know, what is this?
They were
and
expecting a
looked
Rodgers
at,
and Hammerstein musical. They didn't get it,
yeah.
did they? You know?
Yeah, so, you know, some things, you know, takes a little time for us to get used to. So, yeah.
Like Everything Everywhere All at Once, really. Another multiverse spanning movie, which is well worth catching.
I
of
haven't
course,
seen
on
it yet. I need to see that, yeah.
It's good. It's good. One Best Editor award for the BAFTAs recently. But then science fiction movies or science fiction themed movies generally don't do very well with awards ceremonies. People just don't
yeah.
understand us. It's a way forward. How is the Red Hulk model coming on? Because I know we have the Red Hulk icon in the background. I know you're a secret Spider-Man fan as well. Well, not so secret, really. How's the Red Hulk thing?
Yeah, he's in New York, and he's shaping up well, and he's protecting my home there, keeping it safe. And I think they're gonna do something with Red Hulk in the future. So I'm looking forward to seeing that whole, you know, Hulk Island or Hulk kind of world
yeah,
come to
well,
fruition.
I mean, the only thing I would say that I miss about the Marvel movies, and I think it always loses a bit of a point, is they could actually have a computer generated Stan Lee, at least for cameos. You know, I mean, obviously he passed, he's in a different dimension now, but surely, you know, technology is there. Why not drop in some computer generated Stan Lee? You know, just for the fans. I'm just saying.
Yeah, you know, that'd be kind of a great Rod. I could see a big division already saying that would be creepy, because, you know, I see the future as a world where we're going to be going to Elvis hologram concerts and, you know,
we
Beatles
already go to
concerts
ABBA
and
hologram
holograms.
Yeah,
so ABBA in
yeah.
London.
Yeah. Isn't that awesome? So, you know, why not? But, you know, some people still think it's a little creepy, but I would love, that would be great to you know, a really great kind of exciting moment to see another cameo from Stan Lee. I mean, we expect it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we miss
it. It hasn't been the same since he headed off on that side, on that great planet and voyage of discovery. Never mind. Life continues.
Sure.
Kathy, any other questions you had to put to Nzondi?
Well, I mean, it sounds like we need to invite him to Resonance Rewind. I really would like to see him in a Zoom chat with Robin Pierce, really let those opinions flow in on all our sci-fi reviews. And
I love it.
If you have a TV series coming up, that could be reviewed. That'd be pretty cool.
Ooh, let's get it shot first, and then we, you know,
yeah,
get the pilot.
But surely,
shot,
surely,
and
Nzondi, in the
up.
Multiverse, we actually have already shot it. We've actually delivered it. It's won the Emmy Award, and it's there, and we're talking about it now. So there you go.
I love the way you think.
Just got to manifest it. There you go.
Yes.
Okay. It's all happening. It is happening. Definitely. Teenage Rockstar, obviously available now on all good platforms and so on. You can actually
yeah.
download it, purchase it, and take for that. Kathy's already added it to her playlist.
Thank you.
We talk about multimedia
Thank you.
Storytelling, multi-platform storytelling, etc. Are you gradually developing an Nzondi-based universe in terms of the characters that is there? I mean, is there a kind of line there where actually, we talk about the DC universe, we talk about the Marvel universe, etc. What about the Nzondi universe? Is that going to happen as well?
We are doing that. That's and part of the last meeting that we had, I had with a director that's attached and the executive producer. they finally kind of got where I'm leading with that. Yes, I'm actually even bringing my father created the first he it was published the first black superhero back in 1963, 3 years before Black Panther came out in 66, called Little Zing. And I'm bringing him back out, but it's just a little different spin too, because Dad didn't do a lot of work, a lot of work in the biography, in the backstory of the character. So I'm creating this whole new world, and in the new book that I'm writing now, it has to do with different parallel universes. So yes, we're doing that, and I wanted to be able to integrate with the virtual world and games, meta games, board games, film, animation. So we're getting there. You have to take your time with it and
You
get it
can't just
right.
build a multiverse in a day, It
Right.
takes at least six to do a world. So,
Takes at least six.
exactly. Kathy, back to yourself.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you, in this narrative world that you're kind of creating and building and working on, and your multiverse, of course, which character do you relate with the most?
Oh, that's a good question. So I spent a lot of time with this book developing the characters a lot stronger. For me, one of the best who've done it, you all know, at developing the character so much that his books are long-winded, very, it's Stephen King. So I went back into the way he developed his characters and I said, I want to really do that. And I have a character now that I probably relate to a lot. Her name's Elle, as in Gabrielle, and she's the teenage rock star. So I'm really relating to her and the kind of things that she went through and are going through. So yeah.
Oh
And in
man.
the words, of course, of Don Powell, our regular co-presenter and former drummer of the band Slade, his latest group, of course, Don and the Dreamers, the title of the album is "It's Never Too Late to Be a Rock Star." So, they're in their 70s, Nzondi. So, from your own point of view, years to go. It's all happening.
Yeah, it's happening. So yeah, I relate to that. I relate to that character because that character has had a lot of losses. They've had she's had a lot of identity crises. I have 22 nicknames and over the years
What's
and
your favorite nickname?
I guess.
Hard to choose, right?
And of
Well,
course,
my
Kathy, in a
sister.
multiverse, you can have every nickname as your favorite at different times.
Yeah. My sister used to call me the Noid because of the nose. So I kind of like that. The
Sounds like a
Noid.
superhero name, actually, and Zondi. I mean,
Yeah.
you could work on that. I mean, just think if the original sort of planners of Pinocchio had actually covered that in place, it would have been a whole new era,
Noids, I like it. Yeah.
Yeah, good stuff. Final sort of lines
Was a
here. I
great
mean,
question. That was a great question. Thank you. Sorry, that was a great question.
no problem. Glad I could ask.
Hey, listen, Kathy has combined being a trained opera singer, a teacher of English, and a postgraduate student in peace and conflict studies, basically. So, plus, of course, she was also, I think at the time when we last spoke in Zondi, she was planning for a trip to the Ukraine, which she subsequently completed with respect to survival. So, she's back.
As you
She,
can
we,
see,
we get her on to
Alex
ask
is
decent
also
questions,
my
really.
hype man.
I go out as your hype man.
Thanks, I
Ladies
appreciate
and gentlemen, the one and only Kathy.
it.
Come
There you
on.
go.
Yeah.
I needed that at the cathedral, really.
It's all right. We'll clip it out and put it on the radio show, Kathy. You can actually have that on that
There you
basis.
go.
So that's fine. Kathy mentioned Residents Rewind. I think also we need to invite you on another show, which is co-hosted with Pamela Sue Mann, called New York Real Talk, because I think Pamela will be particularly interested in your creative journeys and so on, as she's a creative herself and indeed has produced a whole range of albums. So it's worthwhile doing. But that's there's nothing more interesting, as the listener will attest to, than a production team meeting happening on air during the course of the interview. It's kind of like it's meta narrative. We kind of take
Meta,
it back
meta.
several notches. Yeah,
I would
exactly.
love to. I would love to. Thank you. Yeah.
Excellent. We have reached, however, the time where we have to ask you those last two questions. We asked you them back in June 2022. We're going to put them to you together now here in February, March 2023. Kathy, what's the first of those two questions, please?
Yes. Have you had a reasonably interesting Zoomer with us today?
Wait, a what?
A reasonably interesting Zoomer with us today?
Because we're using Zoom, and so we're having a Zoomer.
What's a Zoomer? I don't.
It's what we're on right now. It's a Zoom meeting.
We are actually living in the Zoomer world.
So have I had a very interesting Zoomer?
Yes.
Today.
Yes. This moment.
Yes, this. Great. This. And I'm telling you right now, seeing Ant-Man as a backdrop, it really kind of just makes me really happy.
Yeah. I will use this and demonstrate it with Richard Fitzwilliams and to Robin Pierce about their views on the movie being completely wrong from that point of view. So we'll carry on.
Completely
anyway,
wrong.
Next question, Kathy.
Will you be joining us again?
Absolutely. Anytime you want me, I'm here. I'll make it happen. Let's go.
This is good news. And Zondi, the last thing I'd like to do is we started off, of course, this piece today with Teenage Rockstar. We're going to wrap it up again with Teenage Rockstar, a reprise from that point of view. So would you like to introduce it and take it away, please?
Hey, this is Zondi. This is my new song, Teenage Rockstar, on the best station ever, Siren Radio. Check it out.
You may well have heard of the likes of Stevie Wonder, Aerosmith, Rihanna, Rod Stewart, and maybe one or two others, Red Hot Chili Peppers as well. What do they have in common? Well, a wonderful place called Sunset Marquee, which astoundingly is celebrating its 60th anniversary. Truly wonderful. Over 200 Grammy Award-winning songs were recorded here. And to actually explain the joy of this and why it's an iconic venue in the truest sense of the word iconic, we're delighted to welcome the Sunset Marquee Hotel General Manager. That's Rod Gruendijk. How are you, Rod?
Excellent, thank you. Good morning.
Excellent. Well, I'd just like to say most excellent in a Bill and Ted Excellent Adventures way, but that's good. But we also have Visit West Hollywood's fine fellow, Jeff Morris, with us as well. How are you, Jeff?
Yes, hi. I'm doing very good. Thanks.
Now, I feel we have so many links with Los Angeles, and so many times in Hollywood we have regular contributors. I really must visit West Hollywood one of these days. And who knows, Jeff, this could be one of those things that tips the balance.
Absolutely. I hope so.
Well, it would be great. Let's turn to Rod first, if we may. I mean, that list that I read out at the start, and that was just literally a smidgen of the folk who have actually been there. We haven't even mentioned Jeff Beck, of course, much missed and sadly lost recently. But what is it about the Sunset Marquee that has actually led so much talent to perform there or indeed record there?
Well, it's a hidden oasis right in the middle of West Hollywood and just below the Sunset Strip. And we have a recording studio called Nightbird Studios, and with a partnership with a gentleman named Jed Lieber. And Jed's father is Jerry Lieber of Lieber and Stoller, the famous writing team. And the equipment we have down in our studio is by far the best in L.A. And people say, yeah, our studio's down the garage area, and they expect me to walk them down and open up a garage door. But they go in there, and they see a beautiful Pro Tools board, and we've six different isolation rooms and two huge recording studios. It's a very unique situation. And they go down there and they record some great music. We got a phenomenal staff, and magic tends to come. And once we had a few people win a Grammy, superstition. Bands are very superstitious. Songwriters, musicians, they want to follow where magic has happened. So it just took off.
Well, I'm just fascinated by Neil Diamond, who apparently used to play piano there to play off his bar tab. Is that true?
That is true. And not only Neil, but we had Elton John in the lobby playing, and we had many other, Bruce Springsteen, and a lot of other people coming through.
And Bruce Springsteen, of course, Newark born and bred, and the boss calling the place home during his visits there. I mean, yeah, I'm just fascinated. Do you ever get some moments where you almost have to pinch yourself and you think, oh, it's just Elton John playing piano and Bruce Springsteen just jamming in that particular moment there? Or is it just a case of, yeah, whatever?
No, I have to almost think I'm not in the real world when it's taking place. And Stevie Wonder performed at the hotel during our 50th anniversary. And I was very nervous, not knowing if it was going to happen. And I had Billy Gibbons performing. I had John Oates of Hall & Oates. We had some very magical people. And when it all came down, I kind of leaned back against the wall and just felt all this pressure leave me and just watched some magic taking place.
Yeah, well, that's the way forward. I mean, turning to Jeff for a moment, I mean, this must make your work just a doddle, a pinch, a cinch in so many ways. I mean, you've got all this material there, because it's a case of you'd have to set up a campaign to keep people out of West Hollywood.
Yeah, well, I'm really fortunate to represent such an amazing destination. And just sitting here and listening to Rod talk about everything that's happened at the Sunset Marquee in the last 60 years and since he's been there in 30 years, there definitely is a vibe to West Hollywood. We're a small city, 2 square miles in the center of Los Angeles, convenient basically to everything in LA. But once you're there, there's a special feeling that's there. And I think it's a combination of things that, you know, this is where celebrities and artists live their lives. They don't necessarily work there. This is where they dine out. This is where they live. This is where they hang out at the Sunset Marquee. And that happens in all of our neighborhoods in West Hollywood. So there's definitely, I like to say there's like a pixie dust that you feel when you're there, just because there's always this electricity in the air that you could run into anyone at any moment.
Well, certainly 200 Grammy Award-winning songs are not a bad list Jackson have there. And of course, you mentioned, of course, it's generally chilling out there, but Rod Stewart actually shot his music video for Tonight I'm Yours there. So are there any sort of demands for artists to actually say, yeah, we need to basically sort of set our own video on action here?
There is. And we have, you know, so many unique areas of the hotel being on 3.25 acres spread out in these lush gardens and koi fish ponds and private and secret areas that we have a lot of things that take place and a lot of fashion shooting taking place at the hotel. And rock and roll interviews, and you know, it's a fun place. And we're going into our right in the middle of our busiest time period in the first 3 months of the year, with about 25 to 26 major events taking place in town, and Grammys and Oscars and Golden Globes. And you know, London's our biggest market, biggest international market for the city of West Hollywood. So all the hotels do very well with visitors coming in.
I have to ask the question. I've been tempted to actually say it is a hotel where you can check out, but you can never leave, a kind of Eagles moment of life. Mm-hmm.
It is. So we've had many guests that lived at the hotel for 4 years and 6 years and 8 years and so forth. And we've seen their children grow up, and it's kind of neat where, you know, U2's been staying at the hotel since the 70s. And this is, you know, they've become their home away from home. Now we're seeing the next generation coming through and seeing their kids. And it's a, you know, it's fun to see that. And it also tells me how old I'm getting.
Well, Jenny, I mean, I've got to ask the question. You may plead the Fifth Amendment on this, but if you got U2, you got Bono, you got The Edge, you got Adam Clayton, Larry Mullen Jr., were any of them kind of more friendly than others? Or was it just a case of they're all lovely Irish boys?
No, they're all lovely. And my unique experience with them, though, my first week on the job at the Sunset Marquee, Bono came in my office and kind of laid down the law and said that this was his hotel, and if I terminated any of the employees, that we would lose the band. And they had a lovely manager named Dennis Sheehan, and loved Dennis to death. And, you know, it's just a special group of people.
Well, that's a bit like saying with or without you, really, but never mind. It's a Joshua Tree moment. Let's move on to the general West Hollywood scenario. The entire area, as you said, is less than 5 kilometers, Jeff. But 21 hotels. I mean, obviously, we're focusing on Sunset Marquee and 60th anniversary. That's an awful lot of quality hotel in that particular real estate.
Yeah, it's a really dynamic and interesting spot because of that. You know, in Rod's hotel, the Sunset Marquee sits right off of the Sunset Boulevard, or the Sunset Strip, the famous Sunset Strip, where there's so many clubs and restaurants and all of that. But that has really had a renaissance, actually, since the pandemic. We've opened several new hotels on the Sunset Strip. There's a brand new Edition hotel that has an incredible rooftop with views of all of Los Angeles. There's a One hotel and a brand new Pendry hotel that sits on the site where the former House of Blues used to be on the Sunset Strip. So it has a little bit of a storied history itself as well. So there's a real renaissance going on the Sunset Strip, and that's just one section of town. So there's, you know, it's packed with, as you said, 21 hotels, and they're all pretty incredible.
We'll find out details of how to actually follow through in a few moments, but very briefly, Rod, just share with us Jeff Beckett. So we lost him recently, known very much as the iconic creator of Hi-Ho, Silver Lining, plus much, much more, of course. Any sort of notion of how the hotel's going to pay tribute to one of your fantastic former residents, of course?
Yes, we're looking at, in the month of April, kind of make it a Jeff Beck month. And we're doing a large mural that's around our courtyard, our main pool area. And we'll be doing a lot of photography around the hotel. And we have his book here, and we have the Morrison Hotel Gallery. It's located at the hotel. So we'll be doing events in his honor.
Sounds great from that perspective. Jeff, how can people actually get online, book their tickets, fly over to West Hollywood now?
Absolutely. Well, it's a great time to be there, and we'd love to welcome as many visitors as we can to our little city. All of those details can be found at www.visitwesthollywood.com.
I've got two final questions for both of you. Fine folk, first of all, have you both had a reasonably interesting Zoomer with us on the Midweek Drive today? Has it been good for you, Rod?
It's been fantastic. Thank you. Yes,
absolutely.
Jeff, yes, as well.
So next question. Zoomer?
A Zoomer. Well, that's what we're using, the medium of Zoom, to connect and communicate.
Yes. Okay, very good. I love it. Yes.
Yeah. So the next critical question is, can we prevail upon you to join us again? Will you come back and share with us more tales of Sunset Strip and, of course, the awesome world of West Hollywood?
Love to.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you need to come out there and visit with us, too.
Do you know, you're absolutely right. I think we're going to have to put that into some kind of positivity in the next few months, at least. Rod Gruendam, Sunset Marquee Hotel General Manager, and Jeff Morris from Visit West Hollywood. Huge thanks, and be excellent to each other, gentlemen.
Thank you, Alex. Thank you. Appreciate it. You too.
We are all just prisoners here of our own device. And in the master's chambers, they're gathered for the feast. They stab it with their stealing eyes, but they just can't kill the beast. Last thing I remember, I was running for the door. I had to find the passage back to the place I was before. Relax, said the nightman, we are programmed to receive. You can check out anytime you like, but you can't.
It's a sad reflection on human nature that as technology improves our lives, so that there are other human beings who like to crack into that technology and actually affect it as well. And we're talking about car thefts now, specifically with the fact that 2022 saw a 300% increase. That's a 300% increase on the number of chop shop closures by police. And if you are an owner of a Range Rover, a Land Rover, or a Mercedes, etc., or indeed a BMW, or any of the hybrid equivalents, you could find the next item of particular interest and possibly concern as well. We're talking, of course, about the increase in car thefts, which is now pretty much at an all-time high. To talk us through this, we're delighted to welcome the head of police liaison at Tracker and indeed former Detective Chief Superintendent of West Yorkshire Police. That's Clive Wayne. How are you, Clive?
Good morning, Alex. I'm very good, thank you.
Excellent. This is worrying news, isn't it? I mean, you know, we know that as technology improves, so you get more smarter, sophisticated thieves. But, you know, again, 300%, those are increases not to be sniffed at.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I'm keen to say that's our stats, Alex, with the work that we do with UK policing, with our unique sort of relationship with them. But yeah, chop shops are exponentially on the rise, very alarmingly.
Is this because of the cost of living crisis? Is this because people are actually wanting to make use of cars, etc.? Or is it just a case of it's organised crime? It's not kind of a random offence. This is actually big crime in operation.
I think it's a combination of things. It's definitely organised crime. It's serious organised criminality. Vehicles are being targeted. And whilst for a number of years now, the more prestigious vehicles have been targeted and shipped overseas, or cloned or broken up for parts, we're now seeing more and more mainstream vehicles being targeted, as we've seen those used vehicles go up in value for a whole host of reasons.
I mean, looking at the vehicles themselves, we mentioned at the top of the piece, Range Rovers, Land Rovers, those are the most, I hesitate to use the word popular, but the top 10 models recovered by Tracker in 2022. Is this, I mean, the key word there is recovered, you know, so presumably there are steps that car owners can actually take to at least make life much more difficult for malevolent souls who wish to actually take their car, chop it up, and then send it overseas.
Yes, definitely, definitely. There's only so much that people can do, that vehicle owners can do, but the more they can do, and ironically, the more they can do around a lot of those traditional physical deterrents, such as steering locks, crook locks, wheel locking mechanisms, concreted driveway posts, locked garaging and a gated environment, sort of parking in a well-lit, populated area, CCTV systems, and, of course, installing a bona fide Thatcham tracking device is absolutely key, because whilst the tracking device won't stop the vehicle from being stolen, one of ours will give you, you know, for tracker.co.uk, will give you the very best chance of recovering that vehicle very, very quickly. We have a 95% recovery rate.
Presumably also having some visual deterrent as well can actually be used. Crook locks and so on can all kind of deter the opportunist criminal.
Without a doubt, without a doubt. Without certainly in terms of opportunism, you know, those individuals tend to look for easy pickings, for easy opportunities where they can quickly take a vehicle with the least line of resistance. So the more that vehicle owners can do to protect their vehicle along the lines of what I've mentioned, the better.
We're heading towards an era, conceivably, of driverless cars. Will that be a similar problematic situation where people obviously have to have difficulties? I mean, ultimately, it's just a case of it's the parts they want. They want to strip that down. It doesn't matter whether you're an authentic driver or indeed you have a driverless vehicle.
I don't think that's going to change anything. And we've seen an influx in electric and hybrid vehicles being targeted over the last 12 months as well. And as those vehicles become more sophisticated and contain more precious metals, they become more of a rich commodity.
Okay, so the outlook is not great, but how can Tracker effectively help from that point of view? Where would you actually suggest that people who might have just decided, yeah, I'm going to go for an all-electric, singing and dancing vehicle, I want that, but obviously I'd like to actually ensure that it remains in my property, what should they be doing?
Well, I think they should consider all those physical barriers, as I've mentioned, to target harden as much as they can. But I would also urge them to contact us at tracker.co.uk, because we have a solution for many different types of vehicles and sectors, including electric and hybrid vehicles. And as I mentioned before, we have a consistent 95% recovery rate, and 80% of those vehicles are recovered in the first 24 hours, and the vast majority of those are intact.
Are there any parts of the country that stand out more than others? I mean, if you're a stockbroker in Surrey, for instance, are you more likely to be targeted than a farmer in North Yorkshire?
Definitely. We see London and the home counties as being particular problems, and particularly for those vehicles that are targeted to be shipped overseas via some of the southern ports, such as Tilbury Docks and Dover. So in terms of our top 10 regions, London is an outlier, as you might expect. West Midlands, absolutely. Greater Manchester, but then into the home counties, Essex and Kent. South Yorkshire are consistently in the top 10. Surrey, as you've mentioned, Alex, then Lancashire, Hertfordshire and West Yorkshire. So whilst the problem crept up into the Midlands, northwest and southwest, without a doubt, London and the home counties is a major target.
Well, let's hope that people find this of some use and maybe actually help in terms of actually sorting out any challenges they might scan the horizon, prevent the thing happening a lot better than actually having to deal with the crisis. Clive Wayne, Head of Police Liaison at Tracker, many thanks indeed, and keep on keeping on.
Thanks very much.